Remember the Spears family singing that all the time, John. Used to go a lot of gospel sings when I was younger. You could go to them. They actually called them gospel sings. Now they call them concerts, and that's about what they are. They're worldly concerts, although there is some, you can still find some good gospel sings. But a lot of them's been tainted and tarred and not like they used to be. But I sure like the old gospel music, John Boy. And give me the old stuff. That's what I like. I don't care about the new stuff. And I like the old paths. Amen. Pastor Dave will be preaching tonight, so please make sure you come back at 6 o'clock and he'll be preaching. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Good to see each one of you today. Oh, I got the choir down. Looks pretty good. Well, you got about 40. You got 40 people in the choir now or so? 36, huh? Well, we got room for one more. And so, good job, choir. You're doing a good job. There's Sophie. Hi, Sophie. I didn't see her. All right. I got Graceland on the left and Sophie on the right. Amen. Cool. Those babies. Aren't the babies precious? I didn't see Jack Kennedy today. Okay. Let's Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 11 and 12. Go ahead and stand with us. Yeah. I'm going to bring a message today, Coolidge, about sign seekers. People are always looking around. Where's the sign, preacher? What's the sign? What's the sign? I'm going to preach to you about sign seekers today. That's one of the greatest signs that ever happened. Matter of fact, 2,000 years ago, the greatest sign that ever happened. And most people don't even know about, they overlook that sign and looking for something else. They're looking for people to shoot through the sky and stuff like Martians and stuff. No, just read the Bible. It'll show you the signs. Amen. Alrighty. Mark chapter 8, verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, talking about Christ, seeking of him what? What? A sign from heaven. How many see that? Man, preacher, just, by the way, if we would preach on, if I would have a prophecy meeting, and by the way, I'm not against prophecy. I'm for prophecy. But you don't build a church on prophecy. You build a church on the doctrines and principles of God's word. That's how you build it. But if we had a well-known prophecy man come in, we probably couldn't put all the people in this building because people always want to come with, they always have itching ears. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply. Boy, look, and he sighed deeply in his spirit. In other words, it really bothered him. That really bothered Christ. How many of you ever had somebody come in and talk to you and say, boy, like it just ripped your heart out. Say, oh, my, not this again. How many of you ever been through that? And he said, Jesus said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you that there shall be no sign be given unto this generation. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Help me now. I believe this is what you put in my heart to preach. I sure want to be a blessing, Lord. And Father, I do thank you for all the signs, and there's signs that come yet. But Lord, I know the most important sign was you. And so, Father, help us to focus on the most important things and put behind us the lesser things that are not as important as what you are, Father. So, Lord, come down, help me, Father. Help me health-wise today that I can speak. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want to speak to you about sign seekers. The people seeking of him, they said, give us a sign from heaven. I would give him a sign. Eat at Joe's, you know. It was a joke. Go to Dunkin'. Did you notice those people are always wanting to have the touchy-feely words? People like to hear those touchy-feely words. And in verse 12, why does this generation, Jesus said, though, why does this generation seek after a sign? You know what, folks? I'm not against signs, and I know there's going to be, by the way, you can see signs from God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. They're in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing you ought to seek after is Christ. Everywhere Jesus went, people followed him to see signs and wonders and miracles. Did you ever notice? Look up here. I thought about this, Josh. People followed him to get fed with food. They followed him because they wanted to get healed. How many are with me? I mean, they followed Christ for signs, wonders, and miracles, you know. But why didn't they just follow him just to see Jesus? What's wrong with just wanting to be with Jesus without all the thrills and chills? Quiet in here, isn't it? Where are you going, preacher? Don't get caught up in all the high-minded stuff out there in the so-called religious world. Stay grounded in the Word of God. All these little PTR stations, whatever they are, I don't know all them. I don't watch them, so I can't even tell you the name of them. But I know there's Christian radio TVs out there, and they talk about all kinds of stuff. And most of it, by the way, is hokey pokey. And always looking for a sign. 1 Corinthians, stay where you're at. But I'm going to quote you. 1 Corinthians 1:22 states, for the Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign, 1 Corinthians 1:22. But I believe John and people in 2013 are still looking for a sign, Jews and Gentiles. They'll say, preacher, show me a sign from heaven, and I'll believe you about Jesus. That's not true. You don't get saved by seeing signs. You get saved by hearing the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a lot of these charismatic churches that pump people up and get them all excited, but I'm going to tell you, they walk out of there empty and shallow. When they had a lot of excitement. They're crying, screaming, pulling, you know, hold my baby while I can jump up and down. But that's fine. Go to it. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing afterwards. Getting some of you mad already, ain't I? This is a fundamental Baptist church, so if you're here and you're charismatic, you're in the wrong church. Woo! Quiet tonight. Quiet today, John. By the way, you're in the right church because you're going to get truth. But I'm amazed how people, and they'll say, preacher, if you just show me a sign, I'll get saved. No, you won't get saved. They saw signs and they still didn't believe. From Genesis all through the Bibles, all the way back to Revelation, you'll see recorded signs by God. I love this one sign of deliverance over in the book of Exodus. Remember Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 14? Let me just turn to it. Exodus 14, 13. I'm not going to preach on this, but I just want to mention on this going through. Exodus chapter 14, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. I want to show you the sign of deliverance. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Most of the time we get in trouble because we don't stand still and let God speak to us. A lot of times we'll just, Brother Mike, if I don't panic and if I don't go off the edge, if I just stand still and say, God, show me what you want, and wait there till he shows you, you won't have as many problems as you got today. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you the day. For the Egyptians who you have seen the day, you shall see them again no more forever. Yeah, because he drowned them in the Red Sea. Look at that verse 21, 22. Moses, they were at the Red Sea. They had nowhere to go. And then God opens up the Red Sea. Moses stretched out his hand. Are you in verse 21? And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. and the waters were divided. Wow. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them, and on their right hand and on their left. Boy, and I know you've seen them on TV. Hollywood tries to capture it, but don't go after Hollywood so much. But though I don't know how high those walls were of water, but they were huge walls of water. And those people walked across. Some people tell you they waded across. No, they did not wade across. They walked across on dry ground. Now, I want you to get something out of this, though. This, by the way, this was a sign. This was a sign. That, amen? This is a miracle sign. Huh. All that, and we think, John, there was about approximately 2 million people when they left Egypt. We think there's we estimate approximately 2 million Jewish people left Egypt. Now watch this. So when they're in the midst of that water, how many are with me? Huge walls are up on each side, way above them. Are you with me? Huh. And they walk right across the Red Sea on dry ground. 2 million. How many are still with me? That's a sign. There's also a great picture there too. In 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about that picture. In 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about the baptism. Brother Phil, they weren't baptized, but in a sense, after you get saved, you get baptized. They had to have faith in God to trust them to save their soul from the Egypt and to get them across to the other side. How many are still with me? So in type, how many are listening to the preacher? In type, there's a baptism there of 2 million people. That's a quick way to baptize them, isn't it? Now, it's not like us. But I want you to think. And by the way, turn with me in 1 Corinthians. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. 1 Corinthians 10, because I see some of your eyebrows up. What's that guy? Boy, he's been taking, he must have really took the pills today. He's walking in the tulips with Tiny Tim. Believe it or not, I didn't take any pills today. I feel so bad I couldn't take them. I'm afraid to take them. I'll take them when I get home. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2, moreover, brethren, I would not have you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This Exodus. How many are with me? And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That was a baptism of faith. It was a baptism of faith. How many are with me? And so there's little things like that in your scripture. Think about those things. It's a type. It's a picture of four things to come. How many are with me yet? Okay, well, listen. What a sign from God Almighty, saying, I can deliver you from all the evil and all death. I can deliver. You know what? Just like God over 4,000, about 6,000 years ago, about 5,000 years ago, I think that happened about 5,000 years ago. We've only been here 6,000. And just like God showed them, I can deliver you from evil, I can deliver you from death. You know, today, we got the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And did you know even today God can still deliver you from evil and death? Isn't that pretty exciting? How many are glad God can deliver you today? I want you to look at another scripture with me. Matthew chapter 12. You're going to see where I'm going here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. I'm talking about sign seekers. But I'm going to try to show you today the most important sign you ought to be excited about. I know the other ones preach better, but the one I'm going to show you, and you already know it, is the most important in the world. And sometimes I think we overlook it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Matthew 12:38. How many have got Matthew 12:38? Notice what it says there. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. We're talking about signs today. We're talking about sign seekers. People that seek signs all the time. How many have got Matthew 12, 38? Look at what it says. Master, we would see a sign from thee. Wow. Look what Jesus said in 39. He answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it to it, but the sign of prophet of Jonas, that's Jonah. And, you know, I really believe in the day we live today, Coolidge, I think I believe our generation is just like that generation. I believe we live in an adulterous, evil generation. I really do. And look what Jesus said in verse 40. For as Jonas, let's talk about Jonah in the whale. For as Jonas was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Boy, there's a sign for you. He said, okay, you want a sign? I'm going to show you a sign. And the sign I'm going to show you is the sign of Jonah. What about Jonah? They all knew Jonah. They know the stories. Well, Jonah was in the whale for 3 days and three nights, and he got spit up on earth. He came back up. See, Jonah in the whale underneath the sea, underneath, buried underneath, come back up, kind of like the new birth or like the resurrection of Christ. And he said, that sign you want, I'm going to give you the most important sign you need to see in your whole life. Matter of fact, there's no more important sign than what I'm going to give to you right now. He said, just like Jonah was in the well for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man is going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and I'm going to rise from the grave. That's the sign. Look up here. Say this with me. Preacher, the most important sign that the world has ever seen is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the sign that people need to see, the resurrection. Sign seekers, this is a very important point of my message. The most attention and most important thing is the sign you should pay most attention to is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that was a sign. How many can say amen? That's why the angel in Matthew 28:6 cried out, He's not here, for he is risen. Hey, you got a resurrected Savior. You're all looking for all kinds of hooly booly, coochie coochie coochie. No, look, you got a Savior that just died for you and rose from the grave. No one's ever done that. I mean, he's the only one that's ever on his own power. Oh, he brought Lazarus back to death. He made the widow of Nain's son come back from death. But that was Christ doing it for them. He did it on his own power. Woo! Man, that's what you ought to be excited about. You got a Savior that has the resurrection sign. That's why the angel in Luke 24:5-6 asked the question, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Again, they're proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. And hey, you disciples following Christ, you've got a resurrected Savior. You say, what are you doing, preacher? It's not Easter. No, I know it isn't. Did you know we celebrate Easter? We celebrate every Sunday Easter. Easter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. We meet every Sunday. You know why we meet every Sunday? It's the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus arose on the first day of the week. And so we celebrate every Sunday the resurrection of Christ. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I'm here with me. Now notice, listen, the most important sign and miracle of the world was that the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't get caught up on all these prophecy guys and everything. The most important sign, the most important miracle and sign that ever happened
was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the other ones pale in comparison compared to the resurrection. Look, I want you to follow me in some scripture. I'm just having fun about the resurrection. And I know it's not Easter yet, but you know what? I think we celebrate all time, don't we? You say, I've heard this before, preacher. I know, but God put it in my heart. You need to hear it again. You need to reinforce your faith. Look at turn with me to these scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 1 through 3. We're talking about sign seekers. Because you're going to see it. Show us a sign. The greatest sign that ever has happened was that Christ has resurrected from the dead. The former treaty, in other words, a tract written, have I made, O Theophilus, of all these that Jesus began both to do and to teach. I'm in verse 1, Acts 1. Are you with me? 1:1 of Acts. Now I'm in verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given the commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself, what?
Alive.
He's alive. After his passion by many infallible proofs. In other words, you can't deny it. Many infallible, it's impossible to disprove that he rose from the dead. He is definitely resurrected. And you can't deny it because it's many infallible proofs. They can't. How many see it? It's by many infallible, and being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wow. The resurrection. Can you're seeing a risen, alive Savior beyond many infallible proofs. Look at Romans chapter 1. This might be boring, but it's the most important miracle and sign that God ever showed. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to get in some hokey pokey days as we get closer to Christ's coming. Hold on to the resurrection. That's the most important. I'm not making little of the other ones, but they pale in significance compared to the resurrection. Look up here. There's no greater miracle, no greater sign than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ruthie, that's why I know we're going to heaven. Because of us. If he didn't raise from the dead, you and I quit running the buses. Don't forget about the toys and the school supplies next week. Forget about the school supplies. Why should we even do it? Because Brother Mike, if he didn't raise from the grave, then you and I got no hope. I'm glad he did raise from the grave, though. Look at Romans chapter 1. And look at 1 through 4. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. By the way, aren't you glad you got the Holy Scriptures? That King James Bible is holy. Concerning this, the Holy Scripture is going to tell you concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And look at verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God. Now, here's why Jesus was truly the Son of God, because a lot of people down through the years, thousands, yea, millions have proclaimed themselves to be a Savior. But this makes the distinction between who the real living Christ is and who the false prophets are. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Yeah, Christ had no sin. He was perfect. Even his blood was sinless. He had the blood of God, Emmanuel's blood. But notice, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the what? From the dead. Man, I'm going to tell you, show us a sign. I'll tell you a sign. 2,000 years ago, the ground shook on that third day, and up from the grave he arose. That's the sign you want to see, that the Christ that was dead and crucified rose that third day just like he said he would. Can anyone say amen? And the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Michael, the reason you know that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God and that you're wise to put your faith in him, Michael, is because he's the only one that resurrected from the dead. Oh, he's the only one on his own power. He raised other people, but he raised himself. Now, I know they have commercials like Pepsi and Coke. I'm the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. When he resurrected out of there, he said, I'm the real thing. And the angel is saying, hey, you disciples, keep going. He's risen. He's real. He's going to reign. And hallelujah, in the future, he's going to return. Can anyone say amen? Boy, I love this. By the resurrection from the dead. Look at another scripture. I won't preach too long today. I know you know this, but this is what God put in my heart. I just put up with the old man today. I'll give you a sugar lick next week. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Billy, get all these truths in your heart, because you're the generation, they're going to be counting on you, son. Don't ever lose this truth. I know it's so simple. Everybody knows it. It'll be the truth that'll help the next generation live. There's no greater truth I can tell you today than about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To me, that's the greatest truth I can give to you. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. How many got 1 Corinthians 15? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Yeah, he's risen. But go over to verse 12. He proclaimed it in verse 20, because look what they said in verse 12. There was some disparity. There were some doubters. There were some sign seekers. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose, how many's in verse 12? Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But, by the way, you remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't. The Pharisees did, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. You'll get it later. Write it down, Lizzie. You'll get it later. When you're eating supper. Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, Eddie. They were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay. Oh, I feel good today. Look at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection, he's trying to make us think. The Bible says to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance and think on these things the Scripture says. Too many Christians don't think on the Word of God no more. You don't dwell and meditate on it. Look, we dwell on the statistics of baseball players and football players and basketball players, but we can't quote one verse in the Bible. Something's not right. We need to get focused on where our focus should be. Am I making sense to anybody today? Look at verse 13. He's trying to stir your mind. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? No, he can't be. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain and your faith also in vain? Yes. Just if he's not risen, you and I we're pretty stupid. Yay. And we are false witnesses of God if he didn't raise from the grave. Because we've testified that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet your sins. Yeah, if look up here. If Christ hasn't resurrected from the dead, then all of us are still in our sins. We're all going to hell. Because there's no hope outside of Christ. And if that resurrected Savior didn't come out of that grave, you and I are doomed and damned forever. How many are with me yet? Oh, preacher Cost. I just gave you a term from the Scripture. You hear cussing when you watch your TV all the time. Ooh, quiet. Oh, I have a TV. And once I try to keep it on the good programs like football and hunting, fishing. Once in a while, it does float in there too. And if Christ be not raised, verse 17, your faith is vain. And you're yet in your sins. He's trying to stir these people up and say, hey, don't you realize how important the resurrection of Christ is? Don't discount the resurrection of Christ. It's the most important sign you ever saw from God. Then they which also have fallen asleep, those people that died in Christ, they're perished too. Because if Christ wasn't resurrected, Coolidge, all those people that I pastored for 23 years, all those people that have been saved, they died in vain too, if Christ was not resurrected. But I'm telling you, he did raise from the dead. And if, look at 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now, he says, come on, I'm going to get you back where you belong. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Yes, he's risen. He's real. Over 500 people saw him at one time, he says there in 1 Corinthians 15. He walked on this earth for 40 days by many infallible proofs. Acts 1:3. I'm going to tell you, Christ is resurrected. He's real. Angels proclaimed it. People proclaimed it. The Bible proclaims it. I'm going to tell you, Christ is resurrected. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Now, I want you to see something here. Don't ever take the resurrection of Jesus Christ lightly, because that's the most important thing to you. You know, I get that Christ did miracles. I like reading about the 5,000 being fed with 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two small fishes. I like how he told the water and the wind to stop, and it did. I like how he made blind Bartimaeus, how he made him to see. I get excited about how they talk how lame the lame and the withered came, and he touched them, and they walked away. I love to read about the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years. She tried everything, nothing helped. She came to Christ and just touched the hem of his garment, and pow, she was healed. And I could talk about miracle after miracle after miracle. It's exciting. It's fun. They're all true. Thank you, God, for all those miracles. But what I want you to get from my church today is this. All those miracles were great, turning the water into wine. Everything he ever did was great, but there was no greater miracle and sign than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because, Brother Rich, you take all those hundreds and hundreds of miracles and thousands of miracles down through the centuries. If you don't get the resurrection of Christ, you've got nothing.
Amen.
And so, minor on the minors, but major on the major, and the major thing Christians don't know is our Savior is alive. Our Savior is real. Our Savior is risen. Our Savior is reigning. And one day, hallelujah, he's going to return for those that believe in him. Amen? Listen, don't take the resurrection of Christ lightly. Your justification comes from that resurrection. You're justified. God sees us just so we've never sinned. Just like we've never been in the lost fallen race of Adam. Because of the resurrection, you have justification. We have sanctification. God sees we're separated unto him in Christ. If without the resurrection, you don't have justification. You don't have sanctification. And hallelujah, without the resurrection, you don't have glorification. One day I'm going to get this old body's breaking down, man. This little fat Pillsbury boy, he's been breaking down. One day Christ is going to come back. He's going to give me a brand new body. Had he not rose from the grave, my glorification would not be possible. How many are seeing what I'm trying to get you to see today? I'm excited about all those miracles and all those signs, but for all the sign seekers, Christ said, forget about those. Just look at this. That's what he says. I'm going to give you the sign of Jonas. He said, the sign you need to focus on is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense to anybody? Everything depends on that resurrection. Now, I'm going to say a few things. I'm going to close. Listen to me. I'm going to read this first. Oh, you want to turn to it? Okay, we'll turn to it. I had it written down. 1 Peter, in the last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. I wrote it down. I was going to just quote it, but I'm feeling good. You're going to get out early. Boy, I wish I could preach like this every Sunday. So do you. That's the bad part. Jimmy will take those kids home on the bus, and they'll be a half hour early. They'll say, didn't the pastor preach today? He did. He just was feeling his oats. Notice, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us He begotten us again unto a lively hope. How did you get that lively hope? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I worry about people that don't have some excitement in them. You don't have to be exuberant as me. But there ought to be some kind of joy in your heart if you're really saved. Because when you got saved, you got life breathed into you, man. You did. Now, Billy, I've always been pumped all my life. So, I mean, I used to be pumped for the devil, now I'm pumped for Jesus. Notice I wrote this down. The sign people need to see today in us, the sign that people need to see in us is a lively, is a living Savior living through us. Do people, and by the way, people need to see that hope that's in you. Look at that scripture in verse 3. He unto a lively hope. Look up here. You ever walk around? Boy, people say, what's wrong with that guy? Boy, he sure seems like he's a grouch. That's what my grandkids always say about me. Until I give them $20 and they say, you're the best grandpa in the world. I'm really not, but I pay him off. It's worth paying him off. I want him to love me. Grandpa loves me, this I know, because he gives me lots of dough. My grandkids went to Cedar Point. I didn't go to Cedar Point the other day. I still dropped $125. Now I didn't even get 60 miles close to that gate, and I dropped $125. You tell me that ain't something. That's a miracle. 125 big ones. Never got one French fry. Not one. You think they would have brought me back one French fry? How many are still with me? A lively hope. Look up here. I'm getting near the end. I promise I am. This is what I preached. This is my whole thought on this. I did all that for this one last thought, just to leave something in you. Dr. Isaac said, listen, just want to leave a hook in you, and that's what I'm trying to do. We've got the resurrected Savior. I know the world's troubled today. I know the world's got all kinds of problems, but we are people that have got the resurrected Savior, and because we've got a resurrected Savior, we've got a lively hope. The world is going to be burnt up. The world's on mode, destruction mode. But we're not. Because our Savior rose from the grave. He's resurrected. The greatest sign this world has ever seen in all the 6,000 years man's been here is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we that know Christ as our Savior, we ought to have life in us. I'm not talking about phonyism. I'm talking about being real. You don't have to be. But when people see us, they ought to see Christ is the life giver. When people are around us, they ought to see the life of Christ in us. They ought to see that lively hope that God put in us. And if you're a sad sack all the time and you always complain about everything all the time, they're not going to see that lively hope that God says you're supposed to have. By the way, if you don't have that lively hope, you're not saved. Because if you're saved, you got that lively hope. Amen? People need to see that lively hope of Christ living in you and through you. People, look, I'm closing last statements. People are always looking for the supernatural and the spectacular. Get this, this is my people. How many would say that? Amen. To that. People are always looking for the supernatural and the spectacular. Do they see the supernatural and spectacular resurrected Savior in you? Because there's nothing more supernatural than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more spectacular than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's given us a lively hope because when we get saved, his Holy Spirit comes in us. Does the world see that supernatural thing in you that God gave? They should. Do they see the supernatural and spectacular resurrected Savior in your life? They should. Don't go around looking for signs and miracles. Don't go around looking for signs and miracles. Be that living sign for Christ for someone else. Don't be that miracle for Christ for someone else. See, that's what Christ, he saved us so we could reach others. Be that living sign that they're looking for Christ, for them. Be that miracle that for them, for what they're looking for. Let's see and let them see and receive and know the sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is living in you. I hope we can go out this week excited about our risen Savior. He is risen. He is real. He is reigning, and he one day soon is going to return in the rapture. He's going to call us up in the clouds. Later, 7 years later, he's going to come back in the revelation. I like those big R's. Like Richard. R. Rapture. You want to know something really funny? I'll close. This is the truth. I'm not preaching right now. When I was a kid, I was always I was a strong kid. And I was real athletic. Best in baseball, best in football. And I was only 5'6". But you know what they always called me when I was a kid in high school? Big R. Big R. 5'6", Big R. Get Big R. He'll take care of him. Big R was trying to take care of himself, man. But one day, we're going to have the Big R, the rapture, coming up. And I'm glad. I'm glad I'm going to see the resurrected Christ. The greatest sign and the greatest miracle of all time. So when you get you meet someone that's a sign seeker, say, can I show you the greatest sign? Oh boy, yeah, show it to me. They'll be disappointed afterwards, but act like, boy, I heard it just the other day. It's the greatest sign you can see of the times. Jesus Christ is resurrected from the grave. The sign of Jonah. Are you still with me? And maybe the Holy Spirit will prick their heart. Because that's what they got to know. You can tell them all about the tribulation. That's not going to save them. You can tell them all about what God did in the Old Testament. All the plagues and 10 plagues he put on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. That's not going to save them. You can tell them about the 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. You can talk about how he walked on water. You can talk about how he made the blind to see and the lame to walk. But that's not going to save them. What's going to save them is the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, over there in Romans 1:17. They need to hear about the wonderful Savior that died for their sins and was resurrected, arose that third day. Don't let that resurrection, Billy. Satan, you young preachers, listen to me. Satan will say, get away from preaching on that resurrection. No, you preach it more than anything. It's the most, Pastor Myers, that's the most important doctrine you can ever preach, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Thank you for that wonderful resurrection. Changed the world. Gave hope to millions. Beyond millions. And Father, I pray that as we get caught up in our busy lives every day, we'll take some time to reflect on the greatest sign and the greatest miracle that ever happened in all ages of man, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us to be excited about that resurrection. Help us to be excited that we have a lively hope because of that resurrection. We have a living hope, a real hope, a hope that's within. And may we share that living hope of that resurrection of Christ with others. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I've never asked Christ to save my soul and forgive me of all my sins. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Pray for preacher. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. I won't come. You won't embarrass you. But lift up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Put it back down. Anyone like that at all? I wonder, for the Christians today, have you lost that lively hope, the joy of it? Have you kind of got so caught up in the world that glorious resurrection that sets people free for eternity has escaped you? You kind of put it on a back burner. You need to get excited again over that resurrection of the Savior that came for you and died for you and rose for you. You'd say, preacher, pray for me. I'm going through a hard time. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless your heart. Father, you know our people. Please help them. Be close to them. May they go out with the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. May they go out with the joy of the resurrected power of Christ. May they go out with that lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May this week, as we live our daily lives, may people see in all of our people at Bethel that resurrected life of Christ. May they really see life set free, risen, real, a resurrected Savior living within them. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse?